Today on Maine Calling, reasons to embrace the outdoors this winter. Yes, it's cold out there. You can't be blamed if your instinct right now is to curl up by the fire and hibernate until spring. But guess what? We are humans, not bears, and it is actually good for us to go outdoors in the winter. There's science behind it. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will learn why and how to embrace winter and even enjoy the bracing air. Maine boasts many types of outdoor programs for everyone. We'll find out about some of them and get creative ideas for things to do on your own or with your family. From bird watching to cold plunges, yikes! Share your favorite winter pastime. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by contributing listeners and support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering healthcare, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. It is natural to want to hunker down indoors when the weather gets cold, but with Maine's climate, that would mean many months of laying low. Today, we're going to learn how to embrace the winter by getting outdoors and staying active. Joining me about ways to do that, Jeff McCabe, director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation, Courtly Holub, who is executive director of Winter Kids, and Dr. Tony Owens, who is an attending physician with the Department of Emergency Medicine at Maine Medical Center. He is also a longtime participant in the Natural Resources Council of Maine's annual Polar Dip and Dash every January. We invite you to join the conversation. Do you have a favorite outdoor activity or sport in the wintertime? Send us a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Super appropriate. We're having this conversation today. Super cold outside. Dr. Owens, Tony, I'm going to start with you. The why. What are the health reasons to get outside in weather like this? Why not just curl up with a stack of books, maybe some herbal tea, and, you know, just enjoy your home for the next few months?
Great question, Jennifer, and thank you for inviting me. I'm honored to be here, and it's a pleasure. As someone who's always enjoyed the cold, this polar vortex has brought things into focus, and it makes me more excited for the things that I can look forward to. From a health benefit, getting outside is good any season, but winter offers some special things, and living near the Maine coast, I witnessed polar dippers coming down all the time to take a dip in the beach for some cold therapy, which we can talk about later if you like. But generally speaking, being out in the cold does a number of things for us. There's some good medical evidence that it helps our resilience and cognitive skills. It helps reduce inflammation. It helps our bodies metabolize some of the foods we eat more efficiently. And I think just being outside with exercise is good for our health in general. I'm happy to dive into more specifics, literally and figuratively, when the polar plunge comes up and talk. So that's a beginner.
Yeah. We'll tease with that. I want to get to that. But also, you know, it's pretty well known that a lot of people suffer seasonal affective disorder. How much getting outside do we need to sort of counteract that?
Well, the literature on cold therapy is becoming ever more robust, and some of the most well-researched and apparent benefits involve neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin and norepinephrine, which can affect our mood and certainly could go a long way to helping those folks who suffer from a seasonal affective disorder. So generally speaking, cold therapy needs to be addressed in an organized fashion, not just run down to the nearest beach and leap in pell-mell, but begin to condition your body just through the shower for a few minutes a day, building up and maybe joining a group where you can be have some there to help you if you should slip or fall. But generally, 2 to 3 times a week would be good.
Okay, so let's untangle this a little bit. I think I meant to ask you just going outdoors, and you're talking about cold therapy and doing a plunge. So let's talk about let's just go ahead and go forward with that. You have participated in the NRCM's Polar Plunge for 15 years. You clearly believe in the health benefits of it. I'm going to express a little skepticism. We know people have things like undiagnosed heart problems. And I'm wondering if you're listening today and you're thinking, boy, I've read about people who do polar plunges. I've read about the mermaids who go in at Willard Beach regularly. This sounds fun and exciting. I'm going to do it. What are your cautions?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. There certainly are medical reasons to proceed with caution or even talk to your doctor. Folks with hypertension, heart disease, diabetes, pregnant women all should approach this with great caution and probably with some medical advice from their personal physician. So it's not just an open door for anyone to go run out and get cold, but there are certain things, and I think those are the highlights. Older, hypertension, heart disease, diabetes, pregnancy all should be special considerations.
Okay, what does it feel like to jump in the water in January?
Do I have to answer that question? It feels cold.
But
But
how,
it's
I mean, I've heard some people say they don't feel it. I hear other people say it's like a million needles piercing you at once. I hear another people feel say they feel like every bit of oxygen has exited their body at the same time. So what does it feel like for you?
Well, for me, it's exhilarating because it's usually with a group of people, and you've been waiting for the moment when we're all going to dash in. So there's a lot of adrenaline pumping, and it feels just like an exciting thing. I don't have a lot of physical sensation, like I just walked down slowly and walked into the water one step at a time by myself. It's more of a group activity, so it's probably different for every individual.
All right. Well, Jeff McCabe, one does not need to take a polar plunge to participate in outdoor activities. What are some other and let me say that I think a lot of people are thinking right now, why are they doing this program? Of course, everybody knows that people ski and snowshoe and go ice skating in the winter. That's what you do in the winter, or ice fishing. But you have a list that is much longer than those four things I just named. What else do you suggest people do in the winter in Maine?
Yeah, well, thank you, Jennifer. I think that you lifted up ice fishing, and that is such a traditional activity here in the state of Maine. We've seen a lot of growth in ice fishing. There's a number of programs that IFW offers, Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, to get folks out to experience ice fishing. But things like fat tire biking, there's also races associated with fat tire biking here in the state of Maine. More folks are getting interested in fat tire biking just because of challenges sometimes in certain locations with access to snow. So that opens up a huge amount of opportunities. Also, things like dog sledding. We're also seeing, huge popularity in hut-to-hut skiing, snowshoeing at Maine Hudson Trails, both at the Appalachian Mountain Club facilities. So, as you said, the list kind of goes on, and the opportunities are really statewide.
Yesterday on the program, we had two astronomers, and they had an interesting perspective, Jeff. They said the winter solstice is coming up, and that's a wonderful day because it is the longest night of the year. A different perspective on winter, and they would add to that list stargazing. It's a great time of year to do that.
Yeah, and it's growing in popularity. There's so much interest both in state and from out of state to come to Maine and experience the night skies that we have. We're such a fortunate location as far as uninterrupted night sky viewing. And I would say, winter is one of the most amazing times to do that. If you have an opportunity to get outside and to be in western Maine or northern Maine and see the night sky, it's quite incredible. And the other thing I would add to that list, we talked about the cold plunge, but also we are seeing an increase in both fixed location and mobile saunas here in the state of Maine, and those are growing in popularity, and folks are experiencing that cold plunge experience as well as the benefits of sauna. So let's add that to our list of winter recreation as well.
How important is winter recreation to Maine's tourism economy? I know that, you know, July, August, September are the big months. What about January and February?
Yeah. And, you know, I would actually add in the shoulder seasons as well. You know, we're seeing busier fall times for visitation here to the state of Maine. We're also seeing those shoulder seasons, both the fall and springtime, as a time where Maine residents are experiencing outdoor recreation activities, traveling around Maine. So they are vital. There are some regions of the state of Maine that the busiest time that they have is in the winter months. When you think about things like snowmobiling, you know, bringing people to areas of the state that do not see that volume except during the winter months. So, you know, I know recently it's been, you know, January, February, and March have been busy months. And then also when you think of the ski industry, thinking of the month of March, as well as into April for some big ski days as well.
Courtney, I understand Winter Kids is celebrating a big anniversary, 25 years. I believe a lot of people know Winter Kids for the Winter Kids Passport Program, but the organization does a lot more now. Tell us about your beginnings and where you are now.
Yeah, happy to. Thank you, Jennifer. So you're right, Winter Kids is celebrating 25 years this season, which is extremely exciting. That means that we have worked with a full generation of Maine kids who are now coming back to us as parents with their own kids. What we started as was a passport program for fifth graders. So that meant that fifth graders could get free and reduced lift tickets to alpine areas across the state. And pretty soon after that launch, we incorporated what is now called the Learn Outside Guide. That's a curriculum supplement for both elementary and early education teachers. And we've continued to grow from that point on. We now serve over 16,000 Maine kids a year through our programs that are both based in outdoor education and recreation programs.
What are some of the things you're excited about this winter?
Sure. This winter, we have Welcome to Winter coming up in a few weeks at Lost Valley. We usually see a few hundred people there. It's a totally free event. It's designed for the community to come out and try a variety of ways to engage in recreation and sports throughout the winter. So we offer free skiing and snowboard lessons on the magic carpet there. We have Nordic ski lessons. We have snowshoes available for trying. We're able to give all kiddos leaving the program a sled to take with them. We do snow painting, snow sculpting. It's a really great way to try a number of things that maybe families haven't had an opportunity to do before.
I know philosophically, one of the reasons Winter Kids was founded, Courtney, was, you know, that more and more kids, and how could they have even known, were spending a lot of time in front of screens. 25 years ago, they were worried about video games. Now we're talking about phones, right? But, you know, tell us about the reasons that's so important. What is the difference in children when they're able to get outdoors in the wintertime?
Yeah, and this builds a little bit off what Tony was talking about earlier, but we know that outdoor play helps prevent chronic health issues and it supports mental health and well-being. It also increases kids' connections with each other so that they are engaging with one another. They're building grit. They're learning to do things that are a little bit uncomfortable and push through that. And it's really beneficial for them. We know that these opportunities to play and learn outside form positive childhood experiences. They're increasing and building upon new friendships. They're increasing agency. And that all lays a really strong foundation for long-term well-being.
All right. Well, Tony, Jeff was talking about all sorts of really intriguing outdoor activities, from dog sledding to snowmobiling, which ice fishing all sound like a lot of fun. But all of those take a little bit of planning and in some cases, some resources. What about, and I'll confess, this is what I primarily do in the winter, just going on a walk with your friends. What are the health benefits there?
Well, I think there are many difficult to categorize because they're so general and different for every individual. But the companionship and exercise is always good. It helps with your personal physiology. One of the things we see from the emergency medicine standpoint in the wintertime for people taking walks is our injuries from ice. We have to be especially careful with ice. Be check on the conditions, check on your steps, know where the rain drops off the edge. Use salt and sand, wear grippers on your shoes. I tell the residents, I said, this is the season we're going to be learning how to reduce a lot of fractured ankles and broken wrists from people slipping and falling. So I encourage everyone, especially as they get older, to be careful on the ice when they're taking walks. But it's
Yeah.
always worth the effort.
And Tony, you said wear grippers on your shoes. I'm thinking that when in doubt, wear those grippers because let's face it, it's one more thing to put on before you head out the door.
Well, I know my wife and I both have them, and in spite of it, I know I've taken a couple of slips on the steps on the side of our house. So even when you're cautious, it can happen. But they're good. They're available locally. They are easy to put on your shoes, and they do help prevent a lot of injuries. The other thing that one of the more dangerous things being outside, in particular in the winter, is having a dog on a leash, because the dog can take a jog, and next thing you know, you're head face first. So be careful with your dog as well.
And you said that this is what you're teaching the residents at Maine Medical Center right now. Give us some sense of the scale. How many falls do you see in the winter? How many people who are injured because of falls?
We see falls every day. Many of them happen in the house. The most dangerous room in the house is the bathroom because there's so many hard objects to hit when you fall. But falling happens year round, but it's particularly increased in the ice on the out when you're outside. Ice and snow just encourage slipping, falling, and people aren't prepared. So I can't give you an exact number, but it's numerous. I would say of the 150 to 200 patients we see every day at Maine Medical Center, there's probably 20 or so, or that are trauma from a fall.
Well, we are talking about getting outdoors in the winter, and with the exception of being careful on the ice, almost everything else about getting outside is a positive. So, why don't you share with us what you like to do in the winter? Is your favorite activity something that has not been mentioned yet? Do you have a recommendation for others? Our phone number 1-800-399-3566. Our email address talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Do you need a little nudge to get outside and get active during the winter? We are learning about the many ways you can enjoy being outdoors in chilly weather and why that can be good for your overall health. Joining me, Courtney Holub. She is the Executive Director of Winter Kids. Dr. Tony Owens, who is an ER doctor with Maine Med and a regular, or at least once a year, enthusiast of dipping in the icy water, and Jeff McCabe, he is director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation. We invite you to join the conversation. Are you one of those people who loves being outside in the cold, or are you one of those people who needs a little nudge? Send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Rachel, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Rachel, go ahead.
Hi there. So I'm calling from the Wells Reserve at Laud Home. I'm based in Portland, but that's in Wells, Maine, just past the Kennebunk border. And I just wanted to put a plug in for the Wells Reserve at Laud Home as a wonderful place to get outside and walk or cross-country ski or go snowshoeing. You have to bring your own, but once you're there, we have 7 miles of trails. You can ski all the way to the beach, which is a really fun opportunity. We've also got boardwalk trails through the woods, which, if there's enough snow, it's such a beautiful, beautiful place to get outside.
And Rachel, I'm so glad you called. Wells Reserve is very beautiful, not Laud Home Farm. I'm just curious, is there enough snow right now to cross country ski?
Yeah, there is actually. Some of my colleagues were out there yesterday. It's chilly, but it's so beautiful when the sun is out. And for those who haven't been, it's a historic property with a big old farmhouse and barn, beautiful venue. So it really looks like a winter wonderland right now. It's kind of like a storybook out there.
Well, thanks for calling. Rachel calling in to recommend the Wells Reserve at Laud Home Farm. We're going to go now to Brian Lenberg. He is Donor and Events Manager for Maine Adaptive. Thanks for calling in, Brian.
Of course. How are you today?
Great. I noticed that your name is Maine Adaptive now, and it used to be Maine Adaptive Skiing, which makes me guess that Maine Adaptive does even more to get people outdoors in the wintertime. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we offer specialty programming to anybody with a disability, regardless of skill level. Our goal is just to get everyone outdoors as much as possible. And we provide programs going from rock climbing to pickleball. So we have stuff to do year-round outdoors, and we welcome everybody to join us.
Yeah. So what time of this time of year, winter time, what do you offer?
We offer skiing at Pleasant Mountain, Sunday River, and Sugarloaf, along with Nordic skiing at various locations. And we just wrapped up the indoor rock climbing program, but that goes kind of late summer into fall.
And we've been talking about the physical benefits for everyone to get outdoors in the wintertime. Is that even more pronounced for many of the people you work with?
Absolutely, and it's interesting. One in four people in Maine have a disability, and 92% of our surveyed students reported improved physical health, and 100% reported improved mental health. So getting outdoors any time of year has a really big impact.
Yeah. Well, Brian, thank you so much for the work you do and for calling in. Brian Lenberg with Maine Adaptive. So many of you calling in with recommendations. Let's see. We'll go to Isabella in Bar Harbor. Hi, Isabella. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. So I'm the owner and operator of Golden Hour Gear Repair, an outdoor gear repair shop in Southwest Harbor. And I just wanted to talk to everybody for a second about the importance of having the right outdoor gear in the winter. It can make your experience so much more enjoyable and so much safer if you have the right gear with you and it's gear that you've taken care of.
Yeah, well, thank you for that reminder. I understand you have another tip for us as well.
Yes. Yeah, so a lot of folks don't know that you can and you should wash a lot of your outdoor layers, like your down jackets, your Gore-Tex ski shells, your rain shells. There are specialty detergents, Gear-Aid, Nickwax make a few, that can wash these. And it's actually not hard to do in your home washing machine. There's instructions on the bottle. There's instructions on their website. But washing down jackets is super important to clean oil and dirt off of the down and restore the loft of the down, which will give it the warmth that it needs.
Well, thank you for that tip, Isabella. I think a lot of people probably don't know that you're supposed to wash your down coat. So I appreciate it because it's the outdoor layer and you think, well, that's not touching my skin. So I appreciate that. Isabella calling from Bar Harbor. And Jeff, her tip about having the right gear, and we'll be talking about this a little bit on a future Maine Calling, but some people might say, well, gosh, that's all expensive, whether you're talking about snowmobiling or cross-country skiing. There are places now that lend gear, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And we've been part of supporting the work of the Gear Library Network here in the state of Maine. And, you know, the leadership of Maine Gear Share has been incredible, you know, helping gear libraries around the state have a lending library of outdoor equipment and outdoor gear. That includes outerwear in many cases. That includes, you know, boots and shoes as well. And then it includes the equipment that folks need. So removing that barrier and getting folks, you know, into that equipment. I know also that Winter Kids also does, you know, a lot of that work as well. And often for programming and for experiences, both lessons and first time experiences, having that equipment is vital. Also, Bureau Parks and Lands also has several winter gear trailers that they make available at several locations throughout the state during the winter, typically at a state park, but they also do sometimes get to other festivals as well. So,
yeah. And Courtney, what do you want to tell us about the kind of emphasis on gear that you have at Winter Kids?
Yeah, I just wanted to share that we have a snowshoe loan program that's totally free. So if you are able to go to our office in Westbrook, and if all you have to do is make a reservation online, and you'll be able to lease out for a week a collection of snowshoes.
Great. We have a lot of fun emails coming in, but this one, this is a post from Ellen on Facebook. She writes, seriously, thinking twice about getting outside this morning. It's 4:15 a.m. in Skowhegan, and she includes a photo of her thermometer with a temperature of 20 below zero. So, Tony, when is it maybe not safe to go outside?
You know, that's a great question. And I can remember one of my first adventures in the wintertime was learning to winter camp with Garrett and Alexandra Conover from Northwoods Ways. And we camped all over the Northwoods in canvas tents and stoves. And I can remember Garrett one night getting us all out of the tent and saying, come on, come on, it's 20 below zero. What a great moment. I think you can be safe in temperatures well below even that, but you need to have equipment and you need to use good judgment. So I don't think there's a magic number. Did come to mind with this Jeff talking about ice fishing in the article in the Portland Press Herald this morning about the retired surgeon who rescued a loon that had gotten stuck in the ice on a newly freezing pond. Even in Cape Elizabeth, where I live, the Great Pond appears to be frozen over and covered with snow. But the new ice is very dangerous. And proper gear, if you're exploring freshly frozen ice, is important. Because if you break through and you're by yourself, you need a way to get out. And that's important stuff to have, or to make sure you're with other folks that can help rescue you, as from a safety standpoint. Particularly this time of year where the ice is forming and often quite thin.
An email here from Lois. I moved to Maine from Florida 2 years ago this month. My first winter, I stayed inside most of the season, but last winter I decided to embrace winter. I bought snowshoes, boots for hiking, and I play pickleball outside all winter. I am now feeling better since I embraced the cold weather. So, Jeff, we know that Lois is not alone, that something like 126,000 people have moved to Maine in the last few years. Is part of this a mindset, just deciding you are going to embrace winter?
Yeah, I think part of it is a mindset. And to your point, you know, we are now seeing that the number one reason why people move to Maine is outdoor recreation opportunities. And so in many cases, that includes winter opportunities. And I think that's also very, very important to these opportunities and these experiences to be able to try out activities for the first time, to try activities where there's, equipment provided, because that equipment is something that someone's hopefully going to have a positive experience. It's also gives folks the opportunity to see if they like those types of opportunities. And I did want to give a plug for using social media as a tool so that folks can actually track, the different weather conditions. They can track the trail conditions because, you know, the question today came up whether or not there was enough snow in Wells. Bar Harbor is an area. Acadia is a beautiful place to cross country ski, but often, you know, the snow does not permit that. So being able to check in and have those real time updates, you know, also keeping track of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife's website for ice safety tips, you know, to Tony's point, is very important. Being prepared is also, probably the number one thing you want to be thinking about. And then also getting out with people who are experienced, whether those folks are folks that are providing programming as volunteers, or whether it's going out with somebody like a Maine guide, like Tony spoke of, you know, and those experiences going out with the Conovers in years past.
Joining us now on the line, Jill McMahon, who is Program Manager for Teens to Trails. Jill, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Tell us about Teen to Trails and what happens in the winter.
Yeah, so we help Maine middle and high school outdoor clubs start and sustain thriving outdoor clubs. They offer fun ways for students to get active outside together, which enables them to learn about the natural world and themselves and build meaningful connections with their peers. So we support clubs throughout the school year, and winter is a large part of that since we live in Maine. So we offer a winter outdoor series, which are free and low-cost events that help clubs get outside during the colder months. And we partner with recreation areas and outdoor organizations across the state to make these winter adventures accessible and fun. So, for example, this past March, we had 140 students who skied for free at Black Mountain of Maine, and that included 80 teens who were skiing for the very first time. So that event was thanks to the support from Winter Kids and Black Mountain. And we've hosted programs that include ice fishing, cross-country skiing, winter shelter building, winter cooking, snowshoeing, ice skating, pretty much anything that will get teens excited about spending time outside in the cold weather. And so these events, you know, we Teens to Trails tries to make the planning simple for schools and reduce the barriers to getting kids outside. We help with gear and we offer grants, some financial support, and we have programming that happens throughout the year. So we have a few programs coming up this winter. We have two winter days of play. The first is at the Hidden Valley Nature Center in Jefferson on January 24th. And the second day of play is at the Herendo Wildlife Refuge in Old Town on February 7th. And both of those events take place 10 to 4 on a Saturday. And we basically do all kinds of fun outdoor activities. We provide the gear. We do snowshoeing and cross-country skiing and have naturalists leading walks. And we do outdoor cooking and shelter building. And it's just a really fun opportunity for different outdoor clubs to come together, meet each other, and just spend a fun day outdoors.
Jill, these high school outdoor clubs, can I ask you what activities are most popular? What do the kids like to do?
Well, they get really excited about the ski day at Black Mountain.
What day?
We are doing the free ski day. So we offer free skiing and rentals at Black Mountain. And this year is happening on March 1st. So the students will come spend the entire day. Many of them are learning to ski for the first time. And so we offer free rentals and ski passes, and we're providing lunch this year, and the students will come and spend the day learning how to ski. So
wonderful.
That's a popular event. Yes.
Yeah. Thanks so much for calling in, Jill McMahon with the organization Teens to Trails. We'll go to Dan, who's calling from the Bangor area. Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, this is Dan Bombert. I'm the president of the Penobscot Valley Ski Club, and we're based out of Orono, Maine. And the ski club typically offers a lot of programs, a lot of youth programs, both for Nordic and Alpine. They have an Alpine youth Alpine racing team. We also have a committee that works on different trips, Nordic or Alpine trips, and these are trips in Maine, as well as this year they're going to Switzerland and to Quebec on Nordic cross-country trips. Most of those I think are filled up, but you can go to our website and see if there's still room. And then also we have a set of we have a relatively new outdoor center in Orono that the Orono Land Trust now owns, but it's access to probably 20 to 30 kilometers of trails that the Penobscot Valley Ski Club grooms. And in fact, we have enough snow right now that they've groomed about 10 kilometers of those trails.
Wonderful. Well, Dan, thanks so much for calling in. Dan is president of the Penobscot Valley Ski Club. Jeff, this reminds me, earlier you're talking about using social media to look for safety conditions and weather conditions, but I'm guessing another great way to use social media is find out what's going on in your community, what your local land trust is doing, what your local the organizations in your community are doing.
Yeah, you know, I think that the power of social media for local organizations is something that we're really seeing a benefit. You know, folks are putting real-time information, they're putting events that they might be having in the future on those pages. There's also a number of groups here in the state of Maine. You know, there's folks that are Nordic ice skating, there are folks that are Nordic skiing, and they're posting about their experiences and sharing some important real-time information. And then also tips too, which is very helpful. You know, sometimes it's not necessarily always easy to find information out about some places that might be volunteer driven. So that crowdsourcing can be really helpful.
We'll go to Joanne calling from Naples. Hi, Joanne. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. I want to thank Dr. Owens. I'm a former emergency department nurse, and he's absolutely right about ice and falls. When I first moved here from San Diego, the first thing I bought was a set of ski poles because I was interested in learning how to cross-country ski and snowshoe. But I use them now, one in the back seat and one by my door inside, and even just bringing trash out to the end of the road, I always have my trusty ski pole. I caught myself once because it had snowed, and I thought, well, I won't need them. It's a walk on the snow, but the ice was hidden underneath, and down I went. So I really want to thank him because it's really something that I try to tell my friends. You can always go to Goodwill and buy an old pair of ski poles or trekking poles, something with a sharp point to it. And secondly, I'd like to give a shout out to Portland Trails. I learned how to snowshoe with a demonstration that they had in Portland, followed up by a trip to L.L. Bean for their Discovery School. I was the only one in the class. I had two instructors for myself alone for an hour, and they took a picture of me on top of a mogul looking up, and I looked like I was on the top of Mount Katahdin. So I thought, well, this is my first Christmas card to San Diego. So I really thank him for the tips and that he's educating the residents.
Great. Joanne, can I ask you how long ago you moved here from San Diego?
In 2006. I'm still here.
Yeah. So that is about as dramatic a change as you can get.
Well, I came back to our family's cottage on a lake, and it's beautiful. I just had 16 loons outside my door yesterday getting the last bit of minnows before the ice set in today, so they knew something I didn't. It's been wonderful.
Well, thank you for
wonderful.
Wonderful and wonderful. Tony, what about Joanne's idea of always having a pole nearby?
I think it's a terrific idea. And for those of us, as we get older, I have an artificial knee. Your balance gets a little bad. Ice is too slippery. Snow is slippery. Poles can go a long way. There's very light carbon fiber trekking poles you can get. But even as Joanne said, an old pair of ski poles can often be the difference between a bad fall or just a slip. So I think it's a great idea. And if one to think about taking walks. You see more and more people on the sidewalk taking a stroll with poles.
Yeah, Joanne, thanks for your call. We are going to take another quick break. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Maine is a winter wonderland for anyone looking to ski, snowshoe, bird watch, stargaze, or just take a walk. And we are learning about getting outdoors in the winter and how it can boost your well-being. My guest today, Dr. Tony Owens with the Maine Med Department of Emergency Medicine, Jeff McCabe with Maine's Office of Outdoor Recreation, and Courtney Holub with Winter Kids. A note about Winter Kids, Maine Public will be airing a short film about Winter Kids for their 25th anniversary. That film is showing January 22nd through the 25th on Maine Public Television. Share your comments and questions. It's not too late. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram or call 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Ann, who's calling from Rockport. Hi, Ann. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'm calling from, I'm the network coordinator for Maine Early Childhood Outdoors. Just want to say thank you for touching on this comment, this topic, and also including children in the mix of the conversation as well. So we advocate for and support outdoor learning for our youngest children in Maine, 0 to age 8. It's critically important for them to get outdoors as well, and just wanted to add some comments about how the best time for children to get outside is obviously during the daylight time and when the temperatures are at their highest, and most of them are in school at that time. And so we've been working hard to provide support to schools, administrators, and teachers to look at their weather policies in terms of how often recess is getting canceled and how impactful those recess policies can be on just how many days children are staying indoors all day long.
And then do you see more schools? Do you see more and more schools receptive to your message?
Yes, there's a strong, I mean, with the outdoor movement in Maine, it's quite strong. And with that, there's definitely more schools taking a look at those policies. But I don't know how much change is actually occurring. At least one trend that we're seeing is that they're aware that they could drop, for example, the cutoff temperature is frequently around 15 or 20 degrees, which means children may be experiencing anywhere from 40 to 70 canceled recesses in that winter season, which is quite a lot. So we would like to see those cutoff temperatures come down lower. But what schools run into almost immediately is the need for gear. And schools don't often provide gear. They're relying on families to provide that gear for children. And so even when they have a policy that may allow children to go out when temperatures are lower, children who aren't prepared or don't have the right gear are kept indoors. And so there's an equity issue that we are working hard to advocate against as well.
Yeah, thanks, Anne, for that. Courtney, I saw you nodding vigorously.
Yeah, I know that Maine Gear Share right now is working on a pilot program with some early education centers on leasing gear for the season to see how that helps. We're hopeful that that pilot goes well and we'll be able to work with them and connect them with more early education centers in years to come. That's reliant upon some funding needs. But we recognize that that is the number one barrier in getting especially those young kids outdoors is the right gear. And so there's work being done kind of behind the scenes, and I'm hopeful that we'll see more resources becoming available to those groups in the future.
Anne, thanks for your call. I'm going to read a couple quick emails here. An email from Jennifer. I spend most of my winter snowshoe running in Acadia. It's a great way for runners to stay outside on the trails in winter. Running snowshoes strap right onto your running shoes. They are smaller than hikers. I race in them also. I ran in the World Snowshoe Championships in Argentina a few years back and won. It's a sport most people don't know about. So there you go, winter snowshoe running. And this is fun. An email from Esther. Our favorite winter event is the annual weenie roast at our camp on Lerman Pond in Hope. All are invited for ice skating, sledding, cross-country skiing, whatever suits the weather conditions. An outdoor fire is kindled for warming hands, hot dogs, chili, and toasted marshmallows. Esther, that sounds really fun. Count me in. We'll go to Nathan calling from Brunswick. Hi, Nathan. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on. My name's Nathan McDonald. I'm the board president of an organization called Queerly Me. Queerly Me fosters strong support networks and strengthens belonging for the LGBTQIA community across the state of Maine. And we do that by increasing visibility, doing some resource accessibility. But the other portion that I think is the most relevant for this conversation is we do a lot of community building outdoors. So we do programs partnering with mostly land trusts, as well as Maine Gear Share. They've been one of our stronger partners, making sure that folks have the opportunity to kind of get outdoors and have all the appropriate gear from the very beginning for free and keep those programs accessible. But one of our most popular programs is our Trail Mixer series. So we'll partner with the Land Trust and we'll go out on the trails, do a nature walk together, throw out some conversational prompts so the community can kind of find one another and get to know one another. And then normally we have a meal afterwards to kind of keep that mixing going so folks can kind of make those connections in the winter. Because we know that especially in rural Maine, things are a lot more isolated, especially for the queer community. And so we're trying to bring folks out and get them connected with one another. So we had one last week at the Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens. We were at the Gardens of Glow. We had an event where folks could come out and do a trail mixer with us. We have one on December 21st in Farmington. We have another one on December 27th in Holton. And we have a few other events that are a little bit less intensive. Like we have a found family holiday gathering happening on the 13th that is on Gibson Preserve in Searsmont, Maine, where we'll do a community meal and some arts and crafts and some snow sculpture competitions, things like that. So just another way for folks to kind of get connected, especially for communities that are a little bit more isolated.
Nathan, thank you so much for calling. Nathan calling with an organization called Queerly Me. I have an email here from Jack. I'd like to put a plug in for winter sea kayaking, which is a much different sport in the winter than in the summer. Bigger seas, higher winds, extreme cold. but all manageable with the right equipment, including a dry suit. Not for the faint of heart, but well worth a try. Jeff, it wasn't on your original list, winter seas kayaking.
Yeah, I wrote a note here because there is paddling that occurs year round here in Maine. And, you know, both in the whitewater community as well as sea kayaking. I also think of you know, friend and colleague down in Belfast, Nicole, who's Dory Woman Rowing, who's, you know, out rowing year round, taking folks out in the harbor in Belfast. There are a number of folks who are also paddle boarding. So, yeah, you know, it's about being prepared. It's about, you know, getting outside and having the skills. But plenty of opportunities in Maine to be on the water in the winter and not just the hard water ice fishing. So
we'll go to Andrew calling from Sabattis. Hi, Andrew, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. I recently joined a Facebook group called Maine Woodland Walks, and there they post that we should think about people who can't make it outside in the winter, the shut-ins, people who maybe aren't as able as the rest of us, and they encourage people to take pictures or videos of their walks and post them to people so that people on their Facebooks can see that to encourage them or give them a feel for what the conditions are outside, just to give everybody the encouragement to get outside even if they can't.
That's wonderful. Maine Woodland Walks. Thank you. Let's see. We'll go to Shoshana calling from Bowdoin. Hi, Shoshana. Go ahead.
Hi. Pleased to speak to you once again. A shout out to whoever answered the phone. I feel she was wonderful. We were like talking and it was just great. Anyway, and I
that's our producer, Cindy Hahn. Go ahead.
Oh, Cindy. Of course it was. You all have the best voices. Anyway, I love winter. I love being outdoors. I have a really weird dog, and we walk several times a day, including at 4 in the morning, and we look at stars. I have a little grove of trees, and on solstice, I go out there and dance with them and have a cup of tea. Yeah, I'm
well,
a weirdo.
Well, Shoshana, thank you. You know, our earlier caller, Joanne, said be careful, though, walking your dog. I think you did, too, Tony. Be careful on the ice with your dog and four in the morning, right? Right, Tony?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but thank you. And thanks for calling in. Let's see. Let's go to Peter calling from York. Hi, Peter. Go ahead.
Hi. There's a lot of activity in the ice boating area where a small home built ice boat can go out on the ice. And you should definitely join up with a group that's always already doing it. And there are a couple of thousand people in the United States, and worldwide it's up around 18,000. And every
Peter,
year,
when you say ice boating, are these the things you see where you're like kind of like sailing, and you've got and you're going really fast?
Yes. It usually has three runners underneath and a small sail. And most ice boats are DN-60s. And there's quite a history behind it. And there are a lot of people that do it in the winter time. But
that sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for calling in. I'm going to go to one last caller, a former colleague of mine, Bill Green. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Hi, Jen. I think it's important to be optimistic. You don't have to be extreme. It's good to just get out and take a few breaths of fresh air. And here's something that helps me to know that spring is coming, and today's the earliest sunset. Tomorrow, the sun will set 1 second later, even though days will continue to shorten for about 11 days.
Wonderful. So even though so today is the earliest sunset, and that means that you'll go out at sunset and enjoy it?
Not necessarily. It's just good psychologically to know that the sun is going to set later each day until glorious spring comes along.
Well, it's so nice to hear your voice, Bill. Thanks for calling in. And thank you to our guest today, Jeff McCabe, the director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation, Courtney Holub, the executive director of Winter Kids, and Dr. Tony Owens, an emergency room physician at Maine Med and an active participant in the Polar Dip and Dash for NRCM that is on January 4th this year. Today's sound engineer was Sam Tracy. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, automotive news and advice for the season from our car experts. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.